Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yep, that's it. John chapter 1 this morning. We'll be picking up where we paused last week, and we're going to consider a few more verses of John chapter 1 in our quest to understand what this great apostle of John wrote in this incredible book that we call the Gospel of John. In the opening verses, called the prologue of the Gospel of John, he gives some incredible statements that have challenged believers and unbelievers alike for centuries, and we want to make sure that we understand this thoroughly, because it really is the foundation of Christology, which is the study of Christ, and it is also the fundamental truths upon which our whole faith is based. So, with that in mind, I'd like to have you turn to John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 18 again. I'd like to have a volunteer, if I could please, to read verses 1 through 18. Going once. Okay, Lauren?
Verses 1 through 18?
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent forth from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared.
Thank you, Lauren. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pause at the reading of your word to bow before you and humbly confess that without the Spirit of God to open our understanding and to roll back the blindness, we have no hope of understanding these incredible words. And we pray with earnestness that you would, by your Spirit, open our eyes, open our ears, give us a heart that understands, so that we may go from this place rejoicing in who you are, in who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and of the incredible salvation and the grace in which we stand. Father, may you bless this time, may it be pleasing to you and edifying, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Incredible words. We studied those words last week, and what we're going to look at this morning is the second phase, or the second round, if you will, of John's teaching about the Word. So, on the basis of what we studied last week, looking at chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we want to look at verse 3 and say, knowing that the Word was God, and we studied this in detail last week, knowing that the Word was God, which means in that He was of the same essence as God, that He was of the same being as God, what does John give us next that shows that He is God? And that is in verse 3. And what is the answer to that?
All things were made by Him.
All things were made by Him. Now, in particular, Mark?
An unrelated question.
Okay.
Why is, when it says here again, all things were made, why is Him lowercase and not uppercase?
That's a good question. I love questions. Does anybody else have a question? In the Greek, it is my understanding that in the original text, these things are not capitalized. The translators, when they are translated into English, due to their understanding of to whom it refers, capitalize or not. And why sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't, I really don't know.
So the fact that it's not capitalized is still referring to
that? Yes, yes. Yes, it is. In the Greek language is very precise, and and it does tell us where the pronouns are pointing to and all that kind of stuff, but in the end it still is kind of a choice of the translators. Well, okay, to the Jew, this is especially relevant because the Jew has Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, right? And that is part of their book. And Genesis 1:1 says what? In the beginning, God created. Okay, so they understand, as the Jewish people, they understand very clearly that everything that was created by God. Their understanding of God. What does John say here in verse 3?
Same thing.
Same thing, except instead of using God, he says, all things were created by Him, being the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, the Word. So through Him, the Word, I am, all things were made and came into being. This is a real mind bender. We're going to study some things here this morning that are very difficult to understand, and as a matter of fact, in my humble opinion, they cannot be understood. You cannot totally understand what we're going to look at here this morning. That does not mean it's not true. That just means that God is a whole lot bigger than we are, and our minds are not capable of grasping and getting around all of these truths. Bill?
In Genesis 1, is not the word for God a plural?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that is a plural word. Okay, let's go back here. Is this truth, the truth that Christ created all things, is that repeated anywhere else in Scripture? And if you would look at Colossians 1, verse 16, and in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, we have an answer to that. What does Colossians 1:16 say?
For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are invisible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him.
Okay, we'll come back to that verse in the next question in a little more detail. How about Hebrews 1:2?
But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the universe.
Okay, through whom he made the universe. So, John says in verse 3 of chapter 1 of his gospel that all things were created by him, the Word. And do we find that elsewhere? And the answer is yes. It's stated by Paul in the book of Colossians. It's stated in the book of Hebrews that everything, absolutely everything created that was created was through him, by him, and for him. Now, does this include... This is an interesting point. We don't want to miss this. When it says that all things were created by him, does this include only what we can see? And Dorothy, what you read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, would you read that again for us?
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
Yep. So as that verse points out, does this include only the visible universe? The answer to that is no. It includes everything, heavens and earth, what is visible, what we can see physically, and what is invisible, and also thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. Now, all of that is talking about the angelic world. You remember when we studied through Ephesians? In Ephesians chapter 6, where we're talking about putting on the whole armor of God, it says, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of wickedness in high places. That's this whole thing that is being encapsulated by Paul here in Colossians 1:16. It is those rulers, those authorities, Satan himself, all the angels, all the authorities, the powers, the dominions, the rule, everything. Now, folks, we want to make sure that we catch this. Back here in John chapter 1, verse 3, it says all things were created by him. What does that leave out?
Nothing.
Nothing. Everything was created by him. Everything. Now, there was a heresy that was circulating in the early days of the church, and it was this. And we're going to talk about this particular aspect in more detail next week when we get to the incarnation. Because there are some who would argue that because Jesus is the Son, he is therefore lesser than the Father. And because he is lesser, he was therefore created. And since he was created, and this is, Mark, one of the questions that you had, where does this lie, this heresy, this abomination come from that says that Satan and Christ were brothers? Well, it's part of this whole thing. You know, it's the idea that, well, Christ is the Son, therefore he is in some way inferior to God. Now, we're going to talk about that in detail next week. So if you have questions about that, I want to encourage you to think those things through and come to class next week prepared to look at what the Scripture says. But I just want you to understand here that what we have looked at in just the first three verses absolutely, 100%, totally abolishes that thought. It is not possible. If Christ was created himself, this statement can't happen, right? Because this says who created everything?
He did.
So God the Father did not create Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if God the Father created Jesus, then Jesus did not create everything. The reason I'm emphasizing this is because there is so much heresy and so much absolute outright lies. And it's important, folks, you need to understand who Christ is. You need to understand what the Scripture says about Christ. And you need to be able to answer that person when they knock on the door and say, well, I believe Jesus is a God. Do you know how to answer that? He is not a God. He is God.
Yeah, Bill, I'm concerned about He created everything. You know, as time goes on, we learn more and more about more and more universes, more and more galaxies. And now, I mean, what's... And so, I know we don't know, but what do you think is the point of creating so much, so much? Why did God need so much?
He wanted to.
Hello. It was sort of overkill.
Now that... Karen, I have to honestly say I have no idea how to answer that question.
And then the point came up with the point of,
what
do you think there's a Jesus on another planet? Do you
no,
think there
no,
are planets?
No, absolutely not.
These billions,
no,
billions of stars?
No, no, 1,000 times no. Now listen to what the Scripture says. Jesus created everything, all universes, all things that are in existence, whether they are visible or invisible, whether they are thrones, dominions, powers, there is nothing that He did not create. Do not miss that and do not get it mixed up with the theories and the corruption that is in this world that says something different.
No, no, they think Jesus died and then He went somewhere else. With
no,
planet.
No. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He didn't go to some other planet. There's not some other people out there. The Scripture says this is it. Lauren.
I'm just curious. I have always been curious as to why the Scriptures refer to Christ as the Word. Is it because of the translations from ancient languages?
No. No, it's actually the word that is used here, Lauren, is logos. It is actually the Word, and it is like back in Exodus chapter 3 that we looked at. It is like I am.
Okay.
It is His name.
Okay.
Karen, let me just answer your question here as best I can. Why did God create so much? I think because He's God. Because He is infinite, He creates infinite things. If you try to bring God down to us and make Him like us, you are in an impossible situation. You will never resolve anything. It is not like that.
I read this book by Ignatius de Sousa talking about why is Christianity so great. And he said that actually all of those planets and galaxies and everything was necessary for the atmosphere on our planet to be set up as it is.
You know what? I don't care what he said. I mean, I understand he said that. I don't care what he said. I care what the Word of God says. That's the only thing that we know that we can trust. And so I'm going to stop there. So let's go on to the next one.
No, but he's a Christian. He's not a denominator.
I don't care. I don't care whether he's a Christian or not. Does this include only the visible universe? And of course the answer to that is no. And how does this demonstrate that the Word is God? And this would be particularly relevant to the Jew. Remember that John is writing to Jew and to Gentile. But how would this be particularly relevant to the Jew? And that is because they were very well schooled in Genesis 1:1. And because in the beginning God created, so the God of creation is the Word, He is the I Am. So he has made in with great economy of words, just three verses, He has made some of the most incredible truths evident to us that we have been allowed to understand from the Word of God. So the first point is that the Word of God is the God of creation. The second point is that the Word is the self-existent life and light. Let's take a look at verse 4. Would somebody read verse 4?
In Him was life, and life was the light of men.
In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So what was it that was in Him? I don't know if that question is written clearly or not, but what was it that was in Him?
Life.
Life. It was life. Now, how does that separate Him from us?
He could give life, we can't.
Right.
He had to breathe life into Adam.
The difference here is fundamentally the difference between God and men. God is self-existent life. We have no self-existent life. Our life has been given to us, right? Our life has been given to us. It has a beginning, and it has an ending. With Christ, in Him was life. Just self-existent life. He existed. That is only true of God. Now, I said earlier that we were going to have to struggle with some of the truths that are in here. And folks, this is one of them. I am a product of time and space. I have a beginning. I have an ending. And I can't conceive. My head can't wrap around a being that always is, always was, always will be, is life, has life in Himself. I can't relate. But it doesn't matter whether I can relate or not. It's the truth. It's the truth. He is God. He is self-existent life. We have life given to us. He has always had life in Himself. He's God. And who is this that we're talking about? The Word, who is I Am, who is Christ. Now, as we go through these first few verses in the Gospel of John, John is going to talk about Christ. As you have seen here in what we have looked at so far, God, He is talking about Christ as the Word, as the self-existent one, and that is His deity. Okay? John so far has only talked about Jesus as being God. You understand that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him. I mean, this is God, right? Now, when we get down to verse 14, and we'll talk about that one, Lord willing, next week. We get down to verse 14, and all of a sudden He shifts gears. And He says, this Word, God, became flesh. Whoa. How is that possible? And all God's people said, good question. I love questions. Does anybody else have a question? And by the way, that was Amber that did that in the book, in case you're looking. In case you're looking in the book. That one down there. I love it. I love it. I love it. Let's talk about life and light. And I'll just kind of give you a little bit of a kind of a pre-hint here. In this passage, life and light are sort of interchangeable. You can take life out, put it where light is, take light out, put it where life is, and the meaning is not changed. The two seem to be interchangeable. what are life and light both equated to in Scripture? In the Scripture, we'll look at Psalm 119, 105, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, Romans 13, 12, and Proverbs 4, 19. In those passages, let's just take a couple of these. Let's look at Psalm 119, 105. And somebody else, if you would please look up 2 Corinthians 4, 4. We'll just read those verses and get a picture here of what life and light are and what they are equated to in Scripture. Psalm 119, 105.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Okay. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And 2 Corinthians 4, 4.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto
them. Okay, good. So if we look at those verses and Romans 13, 12, Proverbs 4, 19, and there are literally scores of other ones, light basically in the Scriptures refers to the truth in contrast to lies and error, which is equated to darkness. So light is the truth, darkness is the absence of truth, which is a lie. It is also a reference in Scripture to holiness. So, holiness is light, truth is light, and darkness is wickedness. So, those are kind of synonyms that are used throughout the Word of God. And so, when John says back in here, in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, he is assigning to Christ truth and holiness in contrast to any darkness. Now the next verse is tough. Kind of tough. Somebody read verse 5 for us.
The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
The darkness comprehended it not. Now we understand the light shining in darkness. We'll talk about that a little bit more here. But the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, I know there's a lot of different translations here in the class. Some of you are using NIV. Some use King James. Some use New American Standard. Lots of translations out there. And you're going to find quite a bit of variation about did not comprehend it. I think that's what the King James says, isn't it? Did not comprehend it. That's kind of the way I learned it. But there are some Bible scholars who are genuinely pointing out that is not necessarily the case. Now I want to give you two examples here of the divergence of opinion. I want you to look at John chapter 12, verse 35, because this word, the word that is used in the Greek in verse 5 for comprehend it, can have two different meanings. It really and truly can have two different meanings. And both of them are used in the Scriptures. Let's look at the first one in 12:35. Would somebody read that for us?
Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you."
Okay, now in that particular translation, toward the end there, it says, "Walk in the light while you have the light before lest the darkness overtake you." And that word overtake you is the same word as is used back here for John in John chapter 1 verse 5 to comprehend, to overtake. Now let's just pause there for a minute and let's look at Acts 4:13, where the same Greek word is used with a different meaning. Acts 4:13.
When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Is that what you want?
Yep. that they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They understood, they took note, they comprehended. They comprehended, they understood that these men had been with Jesus. So you see, that in that context, it is best translated as comprehended or understood. It is a perception of the truth. Back here in chapter 12, verse 35, it is not a question of perceiving the truth, it is a question of being mastered by the darkness. Now we might, I'll just pick that word master for a moment and kind of use that in English to demonstrate this. Suppose I say that I have been playing chess and I have learned to master it. What does that mean? I know how to play it. I understand it. I comprehend the game. I comprehend the rules. I understand it. Got it? Now, let's say I am in judo class and we are having a duel and I say I have mastered my opponent. What does that mean? I beat him to a pulp, right? I defeated him. Mark?
Well, more importantly, from judo, you mastered your opponent, you made that person submit.
Yes. So, in English, we have the same issue where one word can have dual meanings. Master chess, master an opponent. What does it mean? Well, you have to look at the context. So you come back here to John chapter 1, verse 5. And the darkness, the light shines in the darkness. And who's the light?
Jesus.
Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What does that mean? And the answer is yes. It can mean either. And I think Bible scholars have come to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit put it in here for that specific reason, because it can mean both. Now let's take a look at John chapter 1 verse 5 and look at it from the standpoint of understanding and see what it says then. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not get it. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, it is true. The darkness just did not get it.
Another word for darkness is the lost.
Yeah, it's the lost. It's also the world system. It's the whole realm of the flesh. Did not get it. Well, let's go back and take a look at this overpower, cause to submit. Let's read verse 5 that way. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overpower it. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that neat? Both things are true. God picked that word and put it in that verse to teach both truths. Darkness doesn't get it, and darkness is not going to stop it.
So darkness being also interpreted as the world system.
Yes, yes.
We say the world system could not overtake Christ.
That is correct. That is correct. The world system will not overpower it. The world system will not stop it. Jesus said the same thing. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stop it. Will not prevent it. Well, let's go on and take a look at the next one. What was the task assigned by God to John the Baptist?
Bring that
light. Yeah. His job was what? To be a witness, to say what? The light is here. Now, if you have to go to someone and tell them that the light is on, what is that saying?
They are blind.
Isn't that interesting here that John the Baptist had the task of going to the nation of Israel and saying, folks, the light is on. And why did he have to say that? Why did they not understand that?
Their spiritual eyes were closed.
Their spiritual eyes were closed. I want to show you something here in this next passage. What is the scriptural description for all unbelievers? And that puts you and me in the same category. I want to look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. I want somebody to look up 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4, and Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. We're going to put together kind of a mosaic here, a few points on the wall, and then when we're done, we're going to step back and say, okay, what does this say? Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. What is he?
Let them alone, for they are blind guides to the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit.
Okay, so he's speaking here of the children of Israel, of the scribes and Pharisees, particularly the leaders. And he is saying they are what?
Blind.
And they are trying to lead the blind. So the first thing we would say about unbelievers is what? They are
blind.
Okay. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Stan?
And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
Okay, so what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 4 is that Satan is doing something, and what is it?
Blinding.
He is blinding. So not only are unbelievers blind, but they are also what?
Blinded.
Blinded. They are blinded by Satan. Now we're going to talk a little bit about how that happens. But before we do that, let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 15.
For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them.
So, the picture that Jesus is giving here is of a person who has their eyes what? Closed. Now, this is a pretty grim picture.
But also their ears and their heart.
Their ears and their heart. We're just particularly going to focus here on the visual, the sight part of it. Here's a picture of an unbeliever. I want you to kind of get this, and if you can, if you already know Christ, I want you to think back before you were saved. And think of yourself at that point and understand that this is what you were. First of all, you're blind. And that means you're unable to see light, right? This is talking about spiritual things, not physical. But the physical is an analogy. So it is like having a person here in this room who is physically blind. They can't see light. That's description number one of an unsaved person. But number two is they're blinded by Satan. Now what does that mean? Well, Satan is the prince and the ruler of this world, of this age, and it is in darkness. He does the very best he can to keep the world in darkness. It's like having a person who is blind and putting them in this room and then turning off all the lights. So even if they weren't blind, they were blinded. Understand? Because there's no lights. Nothing to see. Boy, is he good at that. Huh? I mean, he'll shove all kinds of things around. But then on top of that, this person who is standing in the room, who is blind, unable to see, has the lights turned off and is blinded, in addition to that, has done what? They closed their eyes. So you have a blind person with their eyes closed in a dark room. You got the picture? You know, I remember back before I was saved, with 20/20 hindsight, no pun intended, I can look back and see what I was. But at that point, I couldn't. Didn't understand it. I was blind. I was blinded. And I had my eyes closed and I didn't understand it.
I thought maybe you? When they closed their eyes, maybe they completely decided they did not want anything to do with God.
That's true. And we could look at each one of these things and see why this is true. We're blind because we're sinners. We're blinded because Satan is deceiving the whole world. He is the deceiver of the whole world. And we have our eyes closed because, and we'll see that I think in the next question, when the light comes into the world, and who is the light?
Jesus.
When the light comes into the world, announced by John, because God had given John the responsibility, he said, you go and tell them what? Tell them the light is on. What was their reaction? Look at chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And that will kind of, that's, and kind of to your point here on how their eyes were closed.
But then they would never ever turn to God.
Okay, somebody read chapter 3, verses 19 and 20.
This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into light for fear that his deeds will be exposed.
Yeah, that's the eyes closed. I'm not going to come into the light. I'm not going to come to the light because the light reproves me and shows me what a sinner I am, and I don't like that. So I choose to
close
my eyes. Now, folks, at this point, a blind person in a dark room with their eyes closed, how are you going to get saved? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, what does that say?
For by grace
are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing we can do, folks. We have willingly shut our eyes. We have been surrounded by a deceiving influence that has convinced us that we're fine. And by nature, we're sinners, and we don't care to start with.
So when do they cross over that they will never get saved?
Good question. Thank you, Ann. Let's take a look at one more. What is the next truth taught by John? Verse 11. John 1:11. He came to his own, and his own said, oh, great, the light is here. They received him not. And the question is, who is his own? And we believe that his own here is speaking about the Jews. They are his own. They are his people. They are identified as that throughout the whole Old Testament. And Jesus did come to the Jews, did he not? He was born of the Jews. He ministered to the Jews. He said, I am not sent to the Gentiles, but I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came to His own, Israel, but His own did not receive Him, did not grasp Him, did not understand Him. Does that sound kind of like back up here? Did not comprehend it? They didn't get it. Here they are, face to face with their Messiah. Here they are, face to face with very God. The light is on, and they don't get it. They don't get it.
Bill, a theoretical question. If Christ were to come today rather than 2,000 years ago, would we treat Him any differently today than when He came then?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
We tend to think that we would.
No.
We're so bright and educated. We have history. But would we really?
Yeah. And the question is, to answer that, if you look back here at this definition or this assessment of unsaved people, has anything there changed?
No.
No,
they had the word.
Not really.
They had the word.
Absolutely.
Satan's blind in their eyes and blind eyes.
Yep, all of those things are still true. So, Neil, I think the answer is we would do the same or worse. He came to His own, and now, and this is your answer, but not everyone rejected Him. This is the good news in this whole picture. I mean, all of this that we have looked at here in this part is yucky. I mean, that's me. That's who I am. And I don't like it. I don't like what I see there. But as many as what?
Received
Him. As many as received Him. So John is drawing us through this and saying they're blind, they're blinded, they chose it that way. He came to His own, who should have recognized Him, and His own didn't recognize Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, how does that happen? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I believe with all my heart, folks, I stand here unashamedly, I believe with all my heart in election. I believe God chooses us, we don't choose Him. I wouldn't choose Him. My will is to not choose Him. And He changes my will. He changes my wanter. Dale?
This may be confusing, but being a little bit of an engineer type background.
I know, I'm in for trouble.
light and heat are both forms of energy. And darkness is not a form of energy.
It's the absence of it.
It's the absence of light, as cold is the absence of heat. And if we're talking about this, sometimes we think about, maybe a battle or a fight between good and evil, between light and darkness. But there is not darkness. Darkness doesn't exist as a positive form. Darkness is simply the absence of any light. So in these conditions, the only way that you really can have darkness is to have either blindness, the inability to see, having your eyes closed, or having somebody put up an artificial room around you or something to do that. I just thought that was an interesting thing. And light could have been there.
Yes.
Even from the Old Testament, that
yes.
Perfect Christ is a light that comes and shines brightly. But just the thought that the darkness is not something, it's not a positive entity. It is purely the absence of light.
That's a good engineering assessment. I even understand that. That's a good observation. I had never quite pictured it that way. It's the absence of light.
Now,
yes?
If I just go back to your analogy, the light and the darkness and your analogy of a person, an unbeliever being in the dark, but also being blind.
Right.
So the solution is by our faith, our eyes are opened.
Correct.
And so, but even though in that passage about the God of this age has
blinded,
lowered the veil,
right,
blinded the people, but back Karen's question about why all these whys, it's even though we live by faith, we still see through a glass darkly. I mean, like, what? Right? I mean, you don't. I mean, you still have these. You can still have these whys.
Oh, you can have the whys,
yeah.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
Same, because God is so omnipotent and so everything. And you say, well, why? Why would He do this? Why would He do that? So.
Yeah, you can have whys. And if, as a matter of fact, if you go through this study and you don't have whys, I would be surprised.
But you know, you also have the question where you said you believe in election, and you know, you didn't elect God, He elected you. You didn't choose God, He chose you. And my students brought this up the other day, because how do we know? We don't even know who's chosen. That's why we have to keep witnessing. But you know, you can witness till you're blue into your face, like to my mother, and nothing.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't God choose her? You know, if she dies and she hasn't accepted Christ, What am I going to think?
That is a question that we cannot answer. The Scripture does not answer it. We cannot answer it. Why God chooses some, why God does not choose others, is unanswerable. We are.
And you're going to have to admit that seems a little unfair in our human mind.
In our human mind, it sounds unfair, but as you get into it further, it is incredibly fair, because otherwise no one would be saved. We're out of time this morning. I apologize for that, but we have an early deadline this morning, so I'm going to stop here. We'll pick up where we left off, summarize this, and then we'll also pick up with verse 14. See you all next week. Bye.
Folks, going to have your attention closed. We have to be out by 10:30. They're setting up for worship in here. So, men, we do need to check.